Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Post, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. We are back in our verse-by-verse study in the book of Jude. We left off at verse 15. Today, we're going to do verse 16 to 21. Go to don'tperish.com, look for the verse-by-verse tab. You can find the whole Matthew series, and you can get caught up on the Jude teaching, verse-by-verse. We're going to get right into it. Jude, there's only one chapter. Starting with verse 16, Jude says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." All right, so murmurers. This is to grumble, complain. He also says complainers. And in the Word of God, it tells us, all true saints, to be thankful. Not grumblers, not complainers. It shows you how opposed these men are to the truth of God. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So we're to be thankful, not grumblers, complainers. These men Jude is talking about, these false teachers, these liars, they are the exact opposite of what we are supposed to be. Jude says, walking after their own lusts. We see this every day when we're out witnessing and I'm out street preaching. People claiming Jesus, claiming to be teachers, ministers, or pew people, but they live in their flesh. They walk after the ways of the world. They entertain themselves like the world. They love not the things of God, but yet they are claiming God, walking in their own lusts. We see it all the time. 2 Peter 2:10, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness," or uncleanness, uncleanness, sin against God, walking in their own desires, not walking in godly truth and holiness. This is a sign, shows us, that people who live to fill up their flesh with the culture, movies, sports, entertainment, all kinds of carnal music, hobbies, all kinds of things, pride and vanity, they're not God's people. They're false converts that claim him. Yeah, don't be deceived. They're false converts that claim him. So yeah, that's what it's showing us. That's a sign of those people that are false converts. They're not of him. Jesus said we know a tree by its fruit. Do we not remember that, saints? Let that not be so of us, and then test people around that claim Christ. You'll know them by their fruit. And then Jude says, mouth speaking swelling words. This could be various things, but it could be lifting themselves up or lifting others of themselves up, other false teachers. It alludes to that word extravagance. And these are the type of men who their lips move, but you don't want to believe what they say. All right, swelling words. You can't count on them. Deception, deceiving. This is what false teachers are. This is what false teachers do. Jude says, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Seems like this means these false teachers, they have a lifted up role. It reminds me of like modern pastors today, authors, famous ministry men. They get a reputation. And they stand behind the pulpit, or they write books, or they're popular like a Joel Osteen, and they are basically untestable. Yeah, they can't be tested. Their reputation, people just believe what they say, and if you test them to the Word of God, people get angry with you. And I've heard people say, oh, don't touch God's anointed. I've heard people say that. I've got an article on that. That doesn't mean you don't test men of God. That literally meant don't beat up the one God was chosen to use, the one that God had chosen to use. I have an article on that, the teaching blog. You can look that up. They cry that a lot. Don't touch God's anointed. Doesn't mean that at all. We're to test all things. So these men like to be lifted up. And it's talking a lot about like John, or 3 John 1:9, heard of Diotrephes? He said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have preeminence among them, received us not. Diotrephes, he was one of those guys that wanted to lift himself up. He sounds like this guy that Jude's talking about. And He was too good to be tested. He was too good to have other men close to him. Not good at all. We see the fruit of this all over the modern churchianity. Celebrity Christian teachers. Men that are lifted up above the Word of God. Men that get a cult-like status. Yeah, they're all over the place. Part of what Jesus said will be the deception in the last days. Verse 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so Jude is telling us to look to the words of the godly men that were called to tell the truth as they are our example. He uses the word beloved again, esteemed, right? We're supposed to esteem one another. Yeah, that's lacking a lot. True love among true believers, that's lacking a lot, as Jesus said it would be. But Jude's telling us to look to the words of the men that God inspired to tell us the truth, the apostles. Verses like 2 Thess 2:15 come to mind. Therefore, brethren, Paul says, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Yeah. You know, this reminds me of this. I get this all the time. Calls, emails, people in the street. They ask me this. Ready? So who do you think's a good Bible teacher? And I go, Paul, Peter, John, Jesus, Moses. And they go, no, I mean men today. I said, I don't need to give you men today. We need to stick to the inspired men of God. People get so mad. They want to identify with their modern day false teachers that are Baptist evangelicals. And when you just lift up God's word and say, we don't need other men's writings. We need to rightly divide the word of God, which is what I try to do. But we don't need other men's books and other men's ministries named after them and all of their conferences. We don't need that. We need the word of God rightly divided, which they're not even doing. Yeah, these people get really mad when they ask me about other modern day teachers. But here Jude is saying, remember the words of them which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means cling to the word of God. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter 2, it says that they were meeting daily, one anothering each other, clinging, holding fast to the apostles' doctrines and prayers and breaking bread. Holding fast to the apostles' doctrines. That's what they were doing. That's what we need to be doing. We need to make sure we're doing that as well. Today, clinging to God's word, not writings of men, thoughts of men, modern religion, denominations, traditions of men. Avoid them, saints. At all costs. Verse 18, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Yeah, so Jude's echoing for us again what we've been told in Scripture various times, that mocking men who live by their flesh will be common in the last days. 2 Peter 3:2-3, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and our Savior, knowing first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Scoffers, mockers, pretty much same thing. Peter tells us that. Brother Paul says this in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Yeah, you're not supposed to read their books. You're not supposed to go to their churches. You're not supposed to hang out with them. You're supposed to turn away from them, like Romans 16:17 says. Mark and avoid those who leave sound doctrine and avoid them, right? If we're following Scripture, we'll protect ourselves from false teachers. This is why people don't get protected from false teachers. They're not following Scripture. Makes sense, doesn't it? We can trust God's word. These false men that Jude's warning us about, we cannot trust them at all. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the spirit. So he says they separate themselves. Kind of could be like a modern pastor or these popular preachers today, like a Billy Graham type that get lifted up in their cult-like status. They're famous, they're popular, they're lifted up, they're separated from everyone else. They're like better. And we know God's not partial. And Jesus said, 1 Timothy 5 tells us God's not partial. And Jesus said in Matthew 20, you won't lord over. You won't be lifted up. You're going to be a servant if you're my true people. All these men that get lifted up in high positions as pastors, leaders, they end up being corporate like men, presidents of their ministries. They have vice presidents, executive boards, all of these things. This is not of God. So separating themselves out, it also could mean they're not like God's holy people. So they're separate from the very people that Christ died for, because Jude just told us they're not even of God. They don't even have his spirit, right? So we have to watch out for that. He just told us that. They who separate themselves sensual, having not the spirit. Catch that. Having not the spirit. So they're separated out like they have not the spirit of God. Interesting. These are men that don't live after the spirit, Romans 8:1, but they walk after the flesh. They have not the spirit, is what Jude is telling us. They're false fleshly men claiming to be believers. But they lack the spirit of God, Jude says. That goes along with what I tell people all the time, that many of these false teachers are not of God, and they get mad at me and say, well, he teaches some things that are true and he says Jesus' name. I remember my mother, who was a false believer, false convert, she used to get so mad when I would call out Oprah Winfrey, who is definitely a false teacher, and she would say, but she says she believes in Jesus. That was the discernment my mother had. How sad. I tried to teach her different, but she didn't want to listen. The cost was too great. She loved the world. She loved her friends, her family, more than she loved God and didn't want to lose them. Yeah, Jude tells us, false fleshly men, they're not believers at all. They lack the spirit they need to be of God. That word sensual, it means operating like an animal. Yeah, that is not of God. God created us in his image. We're not animals. Sensual, operating like animals. Remember back in verse 10, Jude calls them brute beasts, as did Peter. Brute beasts is what he calls them. This verse fits very well with that. So just keep that in mind, saints. These men who claim to be of Jesus and even teachers, many times they are not of God at all. Jude is warning us and giving us great evidence. Paul said this, ready? 2 Corinthians 11:15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, talking about Satan, also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Yeah, some of these men claim to be ministers of righteousness. Wow, I know a whole bunch of modern day false teachers that are just like that, acting like ministers of righteousness, yet they're carnal, fleshly men. They have not the truth. They twist sound doctrine, and they operate in heresy. Again, I tell people that all the time. They don't want to believe me. You know what? Don't believe me. How about believe Jude, the Holy Spirit inspired word of God that says these men have not the spirit of God at all. What a warning for us. Verse 20, but ye beloved, there's that word again, building up yourselves on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. So Jude switches now to edify the saints after giving us this warning. Beloved, as I said, esteemed. I'll say it again. Rare, rare trait among those who claim Christ, that they actually love and esteem each other. Very, very rare. How sad. He tells us to build ourselves up. Tells us to build ourselves up. What could that mean? I thought people tell me Jesus does it all the time for us. We don't have to do nothing. No, Jude tells us we got work to do. We got to build ourselves up. Other verses talk about this. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so ye walk in him. See the verb? Build yourself up. There's a verb. Walk in him, there's a verb. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding wherein with thanksgiving. There's that thanksgiving. Yeah, we got stuff to do, saints. We are not idle. We don't sit around waiting for Jesus to do everything for us. We got work to do. We're told to labor, to strive, to build, to run the race. So much for those who tell you, you don't got nothing to do. It's all of Jesus. No. Jesus made the way for us. We could never make it without him. We need his perfect righteousness. Then he calls us to our own good works, Ephesians 2:10. And without it, James in chapter 2 tells us, you don't have a faith if you don't have works that back up your faith. Yeah, it's all over the Bible. And then he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, first he says, he mentions a holy faith. So that means to be set apart. Holiness means to be set apart for God. Faith means believing in what's unseen. So we have a holy, set apart faith. Our eyes are focused on Christ, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. We're walking and living in holiness, set apart for God. And he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, many people that I witness to in the streets, they always mistake this to mean speaking in tongues, but it's not. It's not, because tongues, that's a whole other topic. I don't believe tongues is absolutely ruled out today, but I think tongues is very limited today, and it must be done biblically, and we see a lot of people speaking in tongues. It's not biblical, it's not interpreted, and it's worldly people doing it that aren't of God. Satan is having his way with the whole so-called charismatic gift movement. That's another whole topic. I think praying in the Spirit is the same thing as walking in the Spirit. Think about that. You don't speak in tongues when you walk in the Spirit, do you? Right? That's not really tied to that. No. So praying in the Spirit, what do? We're walking and praying. We're always doing the Father's will. Jesus prayed, thy will be done. Did he not? He did. Thy will be done, he prayed. And so I believe praying in the Spirit is the same as walking in the Spirit. We're seeking to keep and do the Father's will. We're praying the Father's will in love, in truth, in the Spirit, holding fast to sound doctrine, seeking after God's will, just like Jesus always did. He gave us that perfect example of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. And 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, can't read tonight. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So if we're praying in God's will, we know that God hears our will, or hears us, that we're aiming it at his will, and we can have the hope that if it is his will, he hears our petition and he may answer it and do his will in our lives. So I believe praying in the Spirit is walking and living in and praying in the will of God. It has nothing to do with tongues. That's a whole nother topic right there. And then he says, more things to do here, saints. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Christ unto eternal life. So Jude exhorts us to keep ourselves in the love of God. Does that sound like a verb word? Sounds like it to me. How do we do this? Well, the love of God, knowing the love of God, is not a hard concept if we know Scripture. How do we stay in the love of God? We obey God. Yeah. No one willfully sinning is going to get the love of God. They're going to get the wrath and judgment of God. But if we stay in the love of God and we obey him, that's what the Bible calls for. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You want to love God? Keep his commandments. How about Romans 2:7-8? Brother Paul says, to them who by patient countenance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. See that? Which one are you living for? Big accident. Must be an accident. Fire truck's going by. I hope nobody got too hurt. All right. So Paul's talking about by patience, countenance, doing well instead of being contentious and not obeying the truth. You stay in the love of God by obeying God. And then Jesus in John 15, 7 through 10. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so shall I love you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do you see how Jesus is our example? I need to do a teaching on this. Jesus loved God, the Father. Jesus obeyed him. Jesus stayed in the love. And obviously, Jesus did the Father's will perfectly. He is our perfect example. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to obey God, walk in his will, not sin? But yet, Christians say, well, we can, you know, we sin a lot, and God still makes a way for us. That's not what Jesus did. No, he called us to strive for perfection. He told them, go sin no more. He said, love God and obey him. Those are topics I teach on at the teaching blog. So isn't that interesting? So we have a lot to do, saints. Seekers, if you're listening, you count the cost. You have a lot to do if you come to Christ. And then it also talks about, he denotes, enduring. It's all over the pages of God's Word. Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, Matthew 10, many places. Enduring, he says, looking for the mercy in Christ. Isn't that what he says? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of enduring. That's what he's talking about. And the mercy in Christ. He's looking for it. Is it sealed up yet? Is it a done deal? I got nothing to do? No. Not sealed up. It's not a done deal. Nope. Elios. Mercy. Compassion. What are we looking for? We're looking to find the mercy, the compassion from God when we are what? In Christ. How do we get it? Cleansed by his blood through the gospel, faith in his perfect work, death, burial, resurrection, repentance from all sin and worldliness and false ways. Be born from above, and then walk in holiness and obedience as fruit you know him, and endure in the faith. Then we're cleansed by Christ and his blood. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, what if we walk in darkness and sin? We don't get this. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, there's that example again. Christ walked in the light. What are you walking in, saint? Are you living in willful sin? You're not walking in the light. How are you going to be cleansed? It says, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How do you get cleansed from sin? Walk in the light as he is in the light. Yeah, that's what it says. What an awesome promise we get. What an awesome promise from the Father as he did his part perfectly in Christ. And guess what? We have a part to do for this New Testament covenant. A covenant is always an agreement between two parties. And we have a thing to do. We have many things to do. Strive, endure, obey, pray, walk, run, right? Proclaim, repent, endure, exhort, rebuke, take rebukes. We have all kinds of things. Over 1,000 commandments for us in the New Testament. Yeah, go count them all. Yeah. A lot of things for us to do, but it's an awesome part of the promise of God, the covenant of God. If we forsake our sin and keep his ways, we can know this and we can walk differently than these false teachers that Jude's been telling us about. We can walk in the spirit, not the flesh. We can live out our lives as creations in the image of God, not brute beasts and animals. We don't lift ourselves up and separate ourselves off. We walk in harmony with God's people, if we know some. And we walk in his will and his word and in his spirit. Yeah, you're seeing the opposite in Jude of what a godly person in sound doctrine is supposed to look like versus a fleshly false teacher walking in his own accord. We see that all over the place. And people ask me, why do you call out so many false teachers? Probably because there's false teachers everywhere you go, like 3 or 4 of them. And then there's lots more people supporting the false teachers. That's why we have to call them out, because there's massive deception. Deceiving our neighbor who we love, we want them to know the truth. If we do nothing, is their blood not on our hands? I think it is. So that's why we call it out. So We're going to stop right there. We will pick up again at verse 22. We're going to finish the book of Jude next time, just a short book. And we're going to pick another book, and we're going to keep going. God gives me more days, gives me more time as we're traveling on the gospel road, preaching Christ crucified every day, headed towards our next event for the next weekend. We had a good one this past weekend. Did some witnessing today to some man that just got out of jail, another man who's 86 and at the end of his life. It was awesome. God puts them right in our path, and we get to lift them up and encourage them with God's word, plant seeds, and send them on their way. Hey, we love you all. Hope this has been a blessing to you. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. We'll talk to you very soon. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com and all of our resources. We love you all. May God be praised.